Good evening. Thank you, James and the group, for leading us in worship this evening. And in this evening, we continue with our series, Lesson from Psalms, and Where is God? Where is God? It's possible that all of us ask this question. No one should be blind. Sometimes we... Perhaps you ask that question. It's a cry from the pit of our hearts. And when we read the Bible, we find that question from God's people. In Psalms chapter 10, verse 1 says, "Why do you hide yourselves in times of trouble?" And this was the question that we heard from people. Many of us remember the tragedy of September 11. And this week, we remember that. Do you remember the place that you were when you heard the news? I do. And the question immediately I heard, I was in the underground in London. I was working in London. Where is God? And this week, we remember this sad event. Many have turned to God as a result of this and will increase their faith. But many, especially those who love somebody they love, maybe they ask, where was God? Where was God on September 11th? This week, I don't know if you saw the news, millions of people, they are fleeing from some places in North Carolina and South Carolina and Virginia and in the Philippines. People die. Where is God? Where was God? Well, we know that he was on his throne. And he is still there. And these incidents did not happen in his absence. He is there. Do you believe that? Our God is higher. And he is there. And then we know that as a Christian, nothing escapes the attention of God. This evening we continue with our lessons, you know, lessons from the book of Psalms. In Psalm 115, I'm going to read, and I was visiting somebody this week and said, "Do you like the book of Psalms?" I noticed you preach every evening, every Sunday. Yes, it's a wonderful book, the whole Bible. But today we are going to read from Psalm 115. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 3. And Psalm 115, verses 1 to 3. Shall we read it together? Just three verses and then we pray. Okay? This is Psalm 115, verses 1 to 3. Not... Our God is in heaven, does whatever pleases him. Let us pray. Father, we want to spend this half an hour or so reading your word. And Father, we pray that you can meet with us. Father, again, we lift up to you the people in the Philippines, the people in North Carolina and South Carolina and Virginia and the areas that have been affected in the United States, those who are in places seeking refuge, those who have lost their homes in the Philippines, those who are lost everything. We pray your blessing upon them. We pray for the churches in China. I heard this morning that in some regions, about 400 churches has been closed because the government is not happy. So, Father, if somebody asks that question, where is God, we pray that our brothers and sisters, they will be able to respond that our God is in heaven, sitting on his throne, and he knows what is happening. So, Father, bless our time together because we come. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, this psalm instructs people to trust in the Lord, not in worthless idols. In verse 1, if we just do the exegesis, is in verse 1 and 2, there is a call for vindication. And in verses 3 to 8, there is a celebration of God's sovereignty. But the main thing here is idolatry and the limitation of idols. And if you check, if you read the verses 4 to 8, are the same verses in Psalm 135, verses 13 to 21. Now, the author of this psalm is unknown. Some people believe this is a late psalm, and maybe it's Isaiah who wrote this psalm, and maybe another prophet. But most people will say it's David, because the way is written. And in here, we find the main thing is idols. Now, is it relevant today? This is not an age of idolatry. Do you think so? Well, this psalm speaks to every age. And although here in this psalm we find a literal language of idols, here it speaks about another idol. Especially if God is set aside, the limitation of idol listed in this psalm apply to our idols today. What are our idols today? Materialism, atheism, humanism, consumerism. I can carry on. So today, this psalm is very relevant to us. And then, so let's go. Today, I don't have headings. I just go in an expository manner. We are going to read the verses and we are going to be unpacking. And the first, you know, as we read, as I said, the question is, where is God? These people, you know, if you talk to an atheist, they say, there is no God. So the question is, where is God? And the first verse is, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name to be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. There is clearly something has happened to the people of Israel. There has been a national distress, maybe a tragedy, like the September 11, like the tragedies happening in the Philippines. And then and a big problem that have made the heathens, these people who didn't care about God, to say, where is your God? That's the reason why we read in verse 2. Why do the nations say, where is their God then? Why is this happening? So the psalmist asks the Lord to vindicate, to defend the worthiness of his great name. That is in the first two verses. So there was no reason that the idolaters of the nation should insult believers with this question. Where is your God? Are you going through that? Where is your God? But this verse also could be a prayer. One Bible commentary says it's a prayer. Looking back, the problem is gone. And now they praise the Lord. And whatever has happened, it was not because of them, but because of the Lord. Not to us, Lord. Not to us. It's not because we were clever or strong. It's because you love us so much. You were so kind. And because of your mercy. Is that not the Christian faith? Are you a good person? Don't answer, okay? We are not good. I am not good. Are you? But when we come to Jesus, he makes us good enough. When the final day comes, we can be good enough to be in the presence of our God. Do you believe that? But I know good. So if you are thinking, oh, Freddy is so nice person, I know good. I am imperfect. I am a sinner. But I am good because of his mercy. That's what these people are saying. Not to us, Lord. Lord, not to us, but to your name. And then it's a spiritual sound about the kindness of God. Now, they cannot say that now, because now the nation has been delivered and those other nations have their idols. Of course, maybe those nations said, you know, have you heard some people, they have idols, but they say, oh no, They just represent our God. But basically, in those days, idolatry was the common denominator. They have a God for everything. And I read this quotation, I think last year in one of my sermons, and the Philip Raiken says about the Egyptians. And he says, in one of his books, he said, this was the whole point of pagan idolatry. The Egyptians, in this case, did not think that their gods actually live in their idols, but they think the idols gave them the kind of a spiritual contact that will enable them to control their gods. So that was the idea. You know, we have been made to worship. So maybe you like it or not, maybe you are not a believer, you are having made to worship. So you are going to make an idol. But the problem with idols is that it goes against God, because Philip Raiken said, God will not be manipulated. When he commands us not to make idol, he is saying that he will not be captured, contained, assigned, or managed by anyone or anything for any purpose. God wants us to trust him and obey him, not to use him. So what happened is they said, where is their God? You know why? Because they cannot see him. They can see, they have God for the rain, they have God for, harvest, God for the sun, the moon, and have you seen even in the Egyptians, they have these cats. Every time I see a cat, I'm a little bit suspicious. No. Because they have this, you know, these idols. What happened to Aaron? Let's make that. So that was happened. So the Bible literally is saying they cannot see God. So but the psalmist says, shall we say it together? He is the invisible God. He is the sovereign God. He acts according to his plan. He is the creator of the universe. He is our God, said the psalmist. You cannot see him. He is our God. And in verse 4, he starts analyzing idols and idolatry. And he says, but their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. See the contrast? He says, our God, their idol. See the difference? The inspired psalmist does not call their gods God. He calls them what? Idols. The Hebrew word for idol means something manufactured, something fabricated by human hands. What a contrast with our God. Our God who is in the sky, he is in heaven. He is the creator. He is the omnipotent. He is the omnipresent God. He is the one who knows everything. And right below, down there, there is an idol. That is the idea. Our God is in heaven. Their gods are made. Somebody made them. You know why they made the idols? Do you remember what Philip Raiken says? Because they wanted to fit their purpose. And there is a God for fortune, so they pray to that God to get money. There is a God for doctors, and they pray. That is the idea. But the psalmist says, he carries on. He says, they have mouths, but cannot speak, eyes, but they cannot see. Whether they are animals, you remember, I mentioned the cat and the dog of the Egyptians, but they cannot speak. You cannot interact with them. And that's a fact. But now, what about us, 2018, in Bangor, in Manchester, London, in New York, in Berlin? Well, remember what I said? Man was created to what? To worship. So, you know what are the most significant idols here? I'm going to mention a few. Materialism, humanism, atheism. And I can carry on. Evolution. I can carry on. Human beings need idols. If you reject God,
If God is out of the equation of your life, you need idols. You cannot live without them. You need explanations. We made ourselves, you know, something because we are seeking for explanations for something. So that's the reality. While we have time, you know, the consumerism says you are entitled to do it. Humanism says, you know, well, you know, our lives and the world are ours and ours alone. We are the humans. You know, departure from tradition is the product of critical intelligence. Values and ideals can change as knowledge and happiness comes from working to benefit society. But God has no place. And humanism becomes an idol. Now, what happened is there is no purpose. Now, let's think about these things that are happening to us here. You know, what is the message? What materialism can say about healing in our society? You know what are our problems in our society? Many young people, they try to kill themselves. Have you read that? It's they harm themselves. And they have everything. I have friends that we are praying for situations. Do you think materialism is going to answer to that? Many people are in trapped in drugs. They cannot be set free. Do you think this can answer to that? They have ears. They have eyes. But they cannot see. There is no vision. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. Materialism does not have vision. It has no view of life and society. No God. No ultimate moral standards. No, everything is okay. It doesn't have a philosophy for life. Rationalism can explain everything, particularly about moral values. You only get a vision from the Bible. You know where you are going? If you surrender your life to Jesus? We don't. That's faith. Isn't it? Now, but the psalmist says they have mouths but cannot speak. Eyes, but cannot see. And he carries on. He said, they have ears, but cannot hear. Noses, but cannot smell. That is about relationship. Can you have a relationship with materialism? Can you have a relationship with atheism? The Lord is different. He hears are open if you come to him. Our secret sins are forgiven. The idols have ears, but they cannot hear. God knows our sins, our offense. Materialism can do no anything about it. Humanism have no power to help you. You know, humanism, atheism, but they do not have the power. If you are dying in the hospital, who is going to save you? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, my friend. Because there is eternity. And if we are not ready for the eternity, we are doomed. They have hands I cannot feel. Feet I cannot walk. Can you walk with consumerism? The moment you have no money, you are doomed. This evening, I don't have time to unpack that, but they said this, they cannot respond to you. We close our eyes to our the invisible God. You know, it's so terrible. I like verse 7. You know, the second part of verse 7 says, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. It's interesting. Now, I said that I feel suspicion when I see a cat. There you are, a cat. And then you have a dog. Now, have you noticed? If you have a cat and you go like, what the cat can talk to you? They say, something like that. Or a dog. You know, if you love, you that's what the psalmist is talking about. That those idols cannot utter a sound with their throats. So maybe you can say, well, they cannot talk to you. They don't even can do that. But you get that sign of affection, of fellowship, even from whom? From a pet. You have your do dog that's, you know, how does he do? That's fine. Yeah, but you see, that's what the psalmist is talking. Nor they can they utter a sound with their throat. On the other hand, you can have a relationship with God. You know, by his forgiving law, he will embrace you and will answer your prayers. You will understand his word if we surrender our lives to him. But the psalmist carries on saying, those who made them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. Who's he talking about? Idols. So those who made them will be like them. So if we develop an idol, we are so much into materialism, consumerism, there is a danger. There is a danger. Those who make idols and they will be like them. You believe in evolution with all your heart. You believe in consumerism, humanism with all heart. You will be like them. It molds the kind of person you are. You become like your idol. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, there is a warning about idols. Let's read this verse. Let's remember what the Bible says. Exodus 20, verse 5. Let's read together. It's a dangerous thing to have idols. Punishing for the sin of the father to the third and fourth generation. Does this mean that a person is sinful and impure, and impure, and God will punish the children? No, that is wrong. That's not what this verse is saying. Somebody put it like this. The plain meaning of these words in context is that if someone worships a representation of God, any idol, and not the true God himself, then the consequences of that actions will have repercussions down throughout generations. Anyone who worships, who is devoted to something other than the true God, sets up influences in his or her family that go on echoing from generation to generation. Such people risk not only themselves, but children who follow them, the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. The concept of God and worship is passed on to their children, and so on. That's what the verse is talking about. So if our children see something, if our children see that we go to church just because we have to go to church, our children will be like that. If the children see our passion for the Lord, our love for the Lord, our children is more likely that they will follow that at some points in their lives. And don't worry, keep on praying for your children. I always give the example of my only uncle on my mother's side. My grandfather was a pastor for 50 years of an evangelical church. And he had 4 girls and 1 boy. His boy never, he left the church and he prayed for his song. Pray for his song. And one day before he died, he said, Freddie, God is going to answer the prayers. And he prayed for his song. He died, and my uncle will not come to the Lord. He was baptized when he was 62. You see what I'm talking about? The Lord, that's going to say. Now, here there is a warning. Here there is a wonderful promise. I don't want to be gloomy. Shall we read that verse? This is wonderful. But show. There is a promise standing alongside the warning. Those who love God and keep his commandments are more likely to influence the thousand generation for good. What a wonderful. And I think my grandfather influenced me. And I hope I will be able to influence my children and my grandchildren. I want them to be better than me. In God's mercy. No idols. And this is what the psalmist is saying. Let's go to verse 11 in Psalm 115. Say, you who fear him. Talking to us. James, you who... Okay, let's read it together. You, James, who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is your help and shield. You, Magnus. You, Donald.
wonderful, isn't it?
That is how the psalmist. And let me just read the other verses. May the Lord, I'm jumping to verse 14 because of the time. May the Lord cause you to flourish, both you and what? And your children, and your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren, if you manage to see them. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belongs to the Lord, but the earth he has given to mankind. What a wonderful. Many still ask this question when we face tragedy. Where is God? So God is behind the scenes of all time, beholding everything that transpires in this universe. He sometimes allows things to happen that sometimes we don't know. That's what happened in September 11th. And another similar day happened in the greatest days in history. You remember when our Lord Jesus was crucified? God can, he was able to stop it. But he allowed that to happen. So a sinner like me, a sinner like you, we can have that access to God. And you wonder, how can I stop being like that? Being religious will not help you to stop. Being a good friend, a good citizen, will not help you to stop. It's only when we surrender our lives to Jesus is that we have a new creation. There is a wonderful work in London in the Whitechapel, the challenge team, I think it's called, with these young people. And it's 70% effective. People come, young people with drugs, problems with many things. They are based on the scripture. 70%. Only if they want. And look how the psalmist finished as I conclude this evening. He said, it is not the dead who praise the Lord. My friends, when we die, it's too late. We need repentance now. The fact that we come to church every Sunday, that doesn't mean that we have a ticket to go to heaven. The fact that I have been to a Bible college, or I have been a minister for years, is a ticket to go to heaven. It's when we surrender our lives to Jesus. That's what the psalmist says. It's not the dead who praise the Lord. Those who go down to the place of silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore, praise the Lord. It's when we really worship the Lord, no matter the circumstances. The gist of this psalm is that idols cannot relate to you, my friends. They are idols, materialism, consumerism. They cannot help you. They are against God, against eternity, against spiritual things. This is the tragedy if we depend on that. They lack of voice, vision, and hearing. They have no explanation of life's purpose, no help and no power. The gospel of Christ is the opposite. The question is, are we willing to receive it? Where is God? Well, our God is in heaven, and he does whatever he pleases. He wants to forgive you. He wants to change you. He wants to bless you. That is what he wants. There is a living, loving, and compassionate God who is inviting us to join him. He died for needy sinners. Do you want to find life? Come to Jesus. Where is God? Our God is in heaven, and he does whatever. Hey, let us pray. Heavenly Father, this evening we sang, our God is higher. Our God is in heaven. Father, forgive us when we have idols in our lives. We want to follow what most people follow. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us when we don't surrender completely to you. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't want to hear your voice and we want to hear our voice.
Help us, Lord, to trust in you regardless of the circumstances. And when we go through hardships, perhaps somebody here is going through a very difficult time in his or her life. Father, I pray that you can help us, help him or her, to understand that you are in heaven and you know what you are doing. Help us to trust in you. And we pray, Lord, for our society. More and more people can realize that the idols that we follow, they cannot help us. It's only you, Lord. So thank you for your word that reminded us that our God is in heaven. Amen.